Dear children, if I say to you this morning, I am Abraham, then what do you think I am? You look at me, you say, you're not Abraham. But if I say it, and either I am lying, or I am pretending, which is still a lie, or I am telling the truth, but I am not Abraham, so I'm not going to say that. But when we hear the Lord Jesus say in the Bible, I am, and we heard last week, he said, I am the bread. You say, well, he's not bread. He's a man. This morning, if I take the second I am statement, he says, I am the light. Well, he's a man. What does the Lord mean with these words? When he says, I am, and I am the light, and I am the bread, and I am the door, and on he goes. He's comparing himself, children, to these very things you and I can see. Now imagine there will be no light here this morning. All the windows dark, the lights out. Imagine if this morning the sun wouldn't rise and we would sit here at 10 o'clock, midnight dark. Now what would happen if the sun wouldn't arise again for a couple of months? And we're all not able to live. How important is light? And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he says there is no one more important in this world but me. You say, well, wait a moment. There's someone more important than Jesus, isn't that? Who is more important in the world than Jesus? You'd say God. You're right. Unless the one who speaks is God. I am the light of the world. Maybe he is God. Exactly. And all the Jewish people understood that when he said that. All is a big word, but many. Because when in the Greek we read I am, then the Greek words is I, and I am the only one. That's kind of what it means. That's a very strong way of emphasizing that I am and I alone and no other is what I claim to be. Now, congregation and young people and children, it is the Lord who said to Moses this name the first time. He says when there at the Mount of Horeb, when that burning bush, you remember that story? And Moses comes close and God all of a sudden speaks and he says to Moses, Moses, I am. Nobody else is, I am. And so when Jesus is saying these I am statements in the book of John, we have seven of them recorded and a few more actually that are not necessarily I am statements but just basically I am, they are causing in the Jewish mind, as I said, a tidal wave. Jesus claims to be the very one whose name they don't even dare to pronounce. I am. Particularly in this verse, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that, as you can read in verse 20 of this chapter that we read of this morning in the treasury. That's the court of women. That's where was a treasury chest. But in the time that Jesus is saying these words, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. We can read way back in chapter 7 that when the Feast of Tabernacles was nigh, that Jesus went to the Jews, to Jerusalem. And the first part of those days, he compares himself to the water. Then he meant thirst, and come to me, because there was a water ceremony taking place on the Feast of Tabernacles. But there was also a light ceremony. They had two huge candlesticks put together on purpose, right in the court of women. And the priest would use a ladder to get up to the lamps to light them at night after the evening sacrifice. And these lights had oil in them, and they would burn the whole night through. And they would no doubt illuminate the entire temple. And some authors said the entire city. It seems a little bit overstretched to me, but perhaps it was true. And why was this light for? It was to remind them, Feast of Tabernacles, the feast that commemorated their journey through to the desert. It was to remind them of this pillar of light and this pillar of clouds in the day and in the nighttime. And to recall that massive display of the glory of Jehovah, they put up these two candlesticks. And I imagine the Lord Jesus standing, as it were, before these two candlesticks, this unpretentious man saying, I am the light of the world. These things are going to be out in a couple days. But I am not. I am. What is he really saying with that? They were commemorating the pillar of clouds, which was the very presence of Jehovah. You feel the weight of this statement? I am Jehovah. I am God. The one who led your people through the Egyptian desert and through the wilderness out of Egypt. That's me. I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. It is important for us continually to remember that Jesus is linking himself in every I am statement to the Old Testament types, the Old Testament prophecies, the Old Testament manifestations of God's glory. And this is causing tidal waves so badly that finally they crucify him for it. For he is blaspheming when he claims divine honor. Now this morning I may, with God's help, expound to you this beautiful verse. I am the light of the world. So let's reread that as our text. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now let's just meditate on this in a personal manner. And that's why I put it in this way. You all need this light. He is the light of the world, and you need it, because you are of the world. Secondly, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness opens for you the invitation that we all have to follow this light. And that's why I used John 12 this morning as well. Maybe some people still think, yeah, that's only for the select few, the elect. Yeah, they will follow. But in John 12, Jesus says, I gave you the light. Walk in it for a little while, and if you don't, I'm taking it away. And you'll walk in darkness the rest of your journey. So don't think that. That's only for the select few. This is a verse for you. And you are invited to follow this light. Now thirdly, in following this light, we will experience something unusual about this light. How beautiful our text says it. Jesus knows how to say profound things in simple ways. He says, he shall not only walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Those are simple words, but I'm already telling you that I'm going to fail to expound that. I'll try my best to say something about it. But that is a beautiful, unusual characteristic of light. So let's together look at this verse this morning. Jesus, the light of the world. We all need it. You know how absolutely necessary light is for our daily life. Plant life won't survive. Our health will be impeded. The Eskimos are the most depressed people in the 6 months of their life when it is dark, and they kill and they drink and they suicide, because the absence of that light for 6 months is having such an awful, crushing experience on their psycho. Light is so cheerful. Isn't it wonderful to see this bright blue sky again this morning? How lovely is light? It cheers the heart. light of the sun is healing even. They're telling us, the researchers, that the light beams and the light helps our bodies to heal. You know, without light, our whole life would suffer. Now, if that's true with natural light, how much more with spiritual light? And Jesus is the spiritual light. Christ is needed, congregation, in this world. Morally, the world is and cannot even be what it is today apart from this light. Where does this light begin to shine? In Genesis 3, the darkest day of humankind, this light began to dawn. And God brought in that paradise fallen and broken the first beam of light that affects us till today. It is a beautiful world out there today. Still, we are living in peace and harmony. Not all of you are regenerate people. There are heaps of people around us here who have no time for Christianity, but they're leaving us at peace. Why? Because of this light. Their conscience are pricking them. There is still the common grace, the common light that makes us live and be what we are. What's the difference between this place and hell? The absence of light. I'm not talking about the physical light, although that might also be the case, but the absence of God, who is light. It's the essential difference between this place and hell. There is no change of human nature. A fallen man will be just as fallen out there as he is out here. The only reason, my friend, that we are living together in this place today, in peace, in unity even, in this country, is because of the light that is shining in a common way. John begins this whole beautiful book that way. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. That's not speaking about saving grace. That's speaking about the common grace. This world is what it is today, even outwardly, because of Christ. That's why your conscience is pinching you, thanks to the light. That's why we still have a society that functions somewhat because of this light. But once this light is taken away, we will experience what 2 Thessalonians 2 or 1 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You see how necessary light is. That's only for the common things. Even more spiritually, you and I cannot be what we ought to be without this light, Jesus. Without this saving light of Christ in my heart, you think I come to repentance? I won't even see my sin as sin without this light. Without this light, you and I would never even think of God. Without this light of Christ entering into our life and into our heart, we will not be sorrowful. We will not be burdened. We will be blind to the very breach there is between God and us. We'll be quite self-satisfied and continue to be proud, independent, and self-sufficient creatures. Without this light of the world, spiritually, we are lost people and remain that way. And without this light, those of you who are here this morning, burdened with the sense of your sin, those of you here who come here again, cringing in sight because you feel you have sinned, without this light, there is no hope for you. Those of you who indeed feel this morning this breach between God and me that I can only make bigger and deeper, without this light, there is no hope for you. But because of this light, there is hope. Oh, there is so much hope.
Friends, Christ is the only light that shines in this world that can do us any real and lasting good. Let's for a moment think about how Jesus is light. In the first place, let's imagine, children, that you are in a really, really tough position. You're trapped on top of Mount Holdsworth in a thunderstorm and in the snow. And you're all alone. And you have no thermal blanket. And you're running out of food. And you're stiff and chilled. And you sit there all by yourself. And as you there sit there crying, needy, all of a sudden, you hear there's someone coming. Helicopter. Maybe voices. It's the coming of that person. All of a sudden it's like light in your day, isn't it? All of a sudden you feel a little bit more encouraged. You feel a little bit more hopeful. There's somebody coming. Oh, that's light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Adam and Eve are sitting in the darkness, struggling to hide their nakedness and their fear and all their ill feelings. They suddenly heard God and they were terrified. Except they didn't realize He came to bring light. Jesus coming in this world is light. Why? He came not to condemn you. He came to save you. That's light, isn't it? The Lord did not come into this world to condemn the world. It's His own words. I did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through me. Friends, isn't this light? His very coming in this world, that His Father sent Him to this world, that He was willing to come to this world, is not that He would condemn, but He came to save the world. I quote again from the Scriptures in John 12, I am come in light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. There we have the word darkness. What's darkness? That you and I live separate from our God is darkness. You know, you may be well-to-do. You may be healthy. You may be prospering. You may be smart. But if you are living separate from God, you live in darkness. You are living under the curse. You are living without the favor of God. If you've not come to repentance, you live in darkness. Darkness is to live separate from God and from His family. That's a curse. Darkness is to be ignorant of yourself. Darkness is to be ignorant of this God in heaven. Oh, this lovely, holy, majestic, eternal God. He is life to me. He is light to me. My friend, if you don't know Him, you walk and live in darkness. Total darkness. And Jesus says, indeed, who will continue to not believe in me walks in darkness and shall remain in darkness. Darkness is to be addicted to a life without hope, a life without future. And He says, I have come into this world not to condemn, save. Isn't that light? Maybe this morning you've come to church thinking you're at the end of your rope. There's no hope for you. No, not from your side. But I have all the authority to proclaim to you this morning, yes, from God's side. I am the light of the world. You know, Jesus' actions and His deeds are light. You would have seen the Lord Jesus walking through the earth. Personally meet Him, you would see the love and the compassion that He had with people. You'd see and hear that sigh that came out of the bottom of His heart when He saw that poor man, deaf and mute, laid before Him by his friends. and he sighed. As light, our rebellion and our sin and our evil has never, never stopped God to care. Light! God is revealing himself in the Lord Jesus Christ as a father of with a heart so divinely big that we can never describe it. When he touched that leper who lay down before him saying, "Oh, if thou can heal me." What must it have been an incredible feeling to feel the touch of a human hand. For the first time, who knows in how many days and years of his life. And he was willing to touch this unclean leper, to take his uncleanness on himself. That's light, isn't it? Children, here is this great God, Jesus, and he embraced little children and blessed them. That's light. The love, the care, the compassion. We are just reading this wonderful account of this story in John 8. Not really that wonderful, but what I mean wonderful is what I will bring out in a moment. The scene where these Pharisees, as greedy dogs, are standing around this poor woman. And of course the man was not in adultery, right? It usually takes two to tangle and two to be in adultery, but we only take the woman in this case. Who without sin cast the first stone? Marvelous answer. And one after the other is left. Gone. Jesus lifts up his head and looks at the woman and says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" You know what it's like? Children, I do not see the Lord Jesus stooping down again and picking up a stone. He could have stoned her to death. But he didn't. "I came not to condemn men, but to save them." He condemned the sin. He sent a woman on with a call to repentance. My friends, this is the light. Probably in a greater way, the light is Jesus' teachings. You know how we say it sometimes, all of a sudden the light went on. Right? We suddenly get an understanding about it. Now I see it. The light went on. Well, think of it that way. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. His teaching is the light. He came to teach that man cannot be saved by his own works. He can never meet the demand of God. But even greater, he came to teach, "I came to this world to do for sinners what they could never do themselves." I'll never forget, my friend, when the gospel dawned on my own mind. That was truly like a light went on. And the first time God revealed Jesus Christ as the answer. "I have no righteousness, but I saw him, the Lord, our righteousness. I have no means to pay. And I saw in that wonderful sacrifice of his atoning blood, every penny paid." That was light. That was for me the most unforgettable moment in my life, when I saw the glory of Jesus Christ. Now it's possible. Now I can be saved, because this man Jesus did not come to save the righteous, the good, the holy, the guiltless, but he came for sinners to give himself. See, that's the light. I am the light of the world. Without this light, we are doomed to an everlasting journey of darkness. There is otherwise no hope. All other religions in the world are darkness. They're variations of the same darkness. The only teaching that is light is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen that? You begin to see the light dawn in your mind. As the name of Jesus become like a sun rising in the horizon. It's the glory of Christ, friends, dawning. That become the hope of your heart looking to him. Now notice what he says the next. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We will first sing together before we consider that. And I've chosen a psalter of someone who definitely is longing for light and for rest. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. We'll sing Psalter 150, and we'll sing all of the verses. I am the light of the world. And then our Lord says, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't call himself the light of Israel. The pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire was for Israel. But here the Lord says, no, not just for Israel, and for the world. I have worldwide significance. Now, if you read the book of Isaiah, you'll see where Jesus gets it from. Salvation of the gospel will go to all the isles, all the nations of the world shall hear of my message. Has to be. If Isaiah says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. And obviously, this Jesus must be for the world. And he says indeed, I am the light that the whole world needs. I am the light that is suitable for the whole world. And therefore I alone am the light of the world. No other. Obama is not the light of the world. Though he is portrayed as the Savior. He is not. There's only one. Jesus. And by the way, that's the one that Obama is rejecting. That's why his presidency will also be a failure. On the spiritual grounds of the Word. I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus claims for himself. And indeed, you'll be a fool, my friend, to turn your back to this light in Christ. He calls us to follow. What does that mean, to follow? Well, in the Greek, the word follow means going the same way. It's the same word, different form, as the word disciple. Disciple is one who goes the same way, who learns of me, follows me, imitates me, looks to me. So when Jesus says, he that followeth me, this means some heart that lets go of every other means, every other method, every other person, but is solely and only looking to me, learning of me, following me, taking in my teaching, believing it. Trusting his soul, his body, his presence, his past, and his future on me. The one who gives to me the sins of the past can do nothing with it except regret it. The one who gives me the presence, face it every day, bosom sin, unbelief, selfishness, never can do anything with it either. I try every day. I try to be better. I try to start again. I fail every day. Everyone who gives me the future can't know what the future holds. How can I face this holy God? How can I come near to him whom I have so offended? He that followeth me. That's the one who trusts in me. That's the one who lives by my word. That's the one who looks at my cross, who clings at my cross. That's the one who comes before me with the atoning blood only. That's the one who says, Lord, nothing in my hand I bring. All my righteousness is dung, filthy rags, detestable stuff, but thy righteousness. Only. He that followeth me, congregation, is the one who indeed looks at the only ground of acceptance, not on what I've done, not on how I live, not on what I am, nice person I am, not what good I have done in the world, not that, but who squarely rests all his hope of acceptance on the head, and on the feet, and on the hands, and on the eyes, and the thoughts, and the feelings, the Lord Jesus. And he says, he that followeth me like that shall never walk in darkness. Not here, and not there, and not forever. Beautiful, isn't it? I think it is. I've never found it to be anything else but good to follow Jesus and to believe his word. And I hope you may experience that too. And every time it's dark in my life, friends, I know why it is. Because I'm following not Jesus, myself, my ideas, my vanities, my idols. But whenever my eyes may be on this Lord and upon his teaching and upon his word and may live close to him, it's light. Not only light, it's what Jesus says later in the verse. You will have the light of life. We'll come to that in a moment. Come, my friends. You that dwell in darkness, as you face yourself, as you face your bosom sins, as you face the struggles of guilt, of feeling short, are coming eternally short of the honor and glory you are to give to this great God, Come you who feel the arrow, as it were, of the Almighty sticking in your conscience, who feel unease in your heart because you know you've broken the law, you're separated from this God. Come unto Him who says, come unto Me, all you who are heavy laden, and you will not walk in darkness. You will have rest. You let Me take care of it. You let Me take care of your sin issues of guilt. You let Me take care of the sinfulness of your heart. You let Me take care of it. You'll have rest and not walk in darkness. I invite all those who may experience that to open their mouth this week and proclaim it to the unsaved. Share it with them. Come on, people of the Lord, let a light shine. To those who you meet in your own church who don't know the beauty of this light, tell them something. That will not walk in darkness. Come, all ye that are feeling gripped in the darkness of your guilt. I have sinned, I have fallen, I cannot subdue my evil thoughts. My best efforts fail. I have my bosom sins too, just like you. And I fight them all day long. And as I was thinking about this week, struggling through to fight these temptations and these sins of heart, I became so tired of it that I finally cried out and I drove the car. I says, Lord Jesus, I can't handle this heart of mine any longer. I cannot subdue the sin. I can't keep it out. I can't fight the temptation any longer. Hear this. Thou said, come unto Me. Take it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Subdue it, Lord. Save me, Lord. Sanctify me. He that followeth Me, that's what it is, shall not walk in darkness. Are my bosom sins gone? Yeah, they will one day. That's what He's promised. Are the temptations over now? They will one day. One day. They will walk and not faint. They will run, not be weary. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness. Come, congregation. You may be doubt there is forgiveness for you. You may be doubt that you have gone too far. Maybe you doubt you're too hard, too cold, too old. No. Look at this light of Jesus. He came not to save the righteous, but sinners. He died for the unjust. And let's then lastly look at this very thought yet. That in following this light, you will experience the unusualness of this light. Jesus says, He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness. Well, that's obvious. If you walk in the light, you'll have light around you. If you walk in a dark room, you have darkness around you. If you walk in a light room, you have light shining on you. So the Lord says, if you walk and look to Me, you will have the light coming to you. You'll have the light of My Word. You'll have the light of My Spirit. You'll have the light of My communion. You'll have that. You will have the light. You will walk in the light. And indeed, congregation, when we lean on the Lord versus leaning on ourselves, we will experience the light of rest instead of the light, the darkness of fear. When I have to look at myself, then every day I'm unsaved. Every day. Even what I may have known in the past of this light, what He may have told me, I'm every day an unsaved person in China. Totally. You wouldn't believe what lives in my heart. But there may be some of you who says, yes, I believe what lives in your heart because I know my own. Every day unsaved. And still I may witness this morning. There's light in my heart. Why? Because of the promise. And the promise is you shall have the light, the rest. Following the Lord brings rest because we look at His finished work and His ongoing work, and that is the secret and the hope of the church of God. Instead of the darkness of defeat, we'll have the light of victory, no matter how you're going to try. Resolutions, I've made piles of them. No matter how well resolved, we will remain captive, drawn aside by the lust of our heart, by the evils of the society around us that have found such an easy prey within. We always fail. But Jesus, he that looks at me shall not walk in darkness. You'll have the light of victory through Christ and through faith in him. We will not fail. And we look at ourselves and we look at the things of ourselves, congregation, we'll have the darkness of uncertainty. I look at this wonderful apostle's testimony in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. He says, "For this cause I suffer the things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Now look at this. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him." What I have committed unto him. The Greek is, I have deposited to his hand. He says, "I am not persuaded about my own faith in him, I am persuaded in him whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that my past and my present and my future I have laid in his hand, lays there well." That's assurance. He will not walk in darkness. That follows me. The darkness of separation will be experienced when we indeed follow the ways of sin, the ways of the world, the ways of our heart. But the light of fellowship is experienced when we may walk in the light. John writes about that in his epistle that apparently was an accompaniment to this gospel. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Wonderful light. That's walking in the light. But now notice what Christ says in the last statement. He says, "But they shall have the light of life." You know, light usually just shines on my outside. But this light penetrates my inside and it begins to energize me from the inside out. That's what Jesus is saying. This light, as I look to Christ and as I look and wait upon him, he says, "My light will begin to live in you. It will become the light of life." Now, you know, light is energy. Light is active. It's a power. It's not just something untouchable, even though we can't see it. It's a powerful energy. Jesus says, if you walk so as you follow me, he says, my life and my spirit and my light will become in you. It will renew you. It will empower you. It will sanctify you. I will live within you. We often wonder, how could Paul be Paul? And how could John be John? And how could Enoch be Enoch? And how could Noah be Noah? How could Daniel be Daniel? Well, we sang the first song before the sermon this afternoon, this morning. Psalm 34, Psalter 90. I read you the statement. "Who look to him shall walk in light. With joy their faces shall be bright." If you look in the Psalm 34, it says something. They that look to him, they were lightened. That's how they did it. It was God's light, God's power, God's spirit, Jesus' spirit within them. As Jesus says in John 15, "He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. But with him I can do all things. Then I can fight the temptation. Then I can live to God's honor. Then I can indeed aim at least resolve at least, but not get any farther maybe. He will be the light of life. Come, friends, we're going to close this morning this beautiful passage of Scripture. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The only recipe for real and blessed living is Jesus Christ. It's the only answer. The heavenly apothecary, the pharmacist of heaven, has put all his wisdom together in the revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, never has it come up in the mind of man, the way of salvation. But God has bundled it all together in his masterpiece, Jesus. It's himself. You know, we need to go to him with the problems of life, the problems of the heart, the problems of our thoughts, the problems of our soul. And this heavenly physician and heavenly medicine is the cure for all and for everything. Don't be afraid to go tell him the very sin you struggle with. There's sins I don't even dare to share with Michelle. But I don't have any fear to share it with my Master, Savior, Jesus Christ. Not at all. That's what he came for. Save sinners. Deal with the very sinfulness of the human heart. Don't have to hide it. I have to reveal it to him. Here, Lord. Here it is. I can't handle this. Can't do anything with it. Thou hast come to be the light of the world. And thou hast promised, Lord, that he that followeth me shall not walk in the grip of darkness, of sin, of unbelief. Oh God, arise in my life. Here, Lord, look upon me in mercy. Heavenly Father has revealed all his love in him, congregation. He came not to condemn, he's going to come to condemn. Sooner or later, he will be there on the clouds of heaven, no more to save. Then only to condemn all those who refuse to follow him. And that's where I asked John 12 to be read as well this morning, because you notice that this heavenly sovereign will not always shine the light before you. Jesus says in the verses that we read, he says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye in the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness know not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. I wish I could say it with the same feeling that compassionate Savior must have said those words. You have the light of the gospel. He says, soon you won't. As he died and removed the candlestick from Israel until this day, then the dark. Happens still today. God may close your eyes, your ears, and close your eyes. As you notice, John quotes that very verse in the commentary, as it were, on it, that the Isaiah prophet may be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed our report? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said he blinded their eyes. You know, you may be all the rest of your life under the preaching of the light. And this verse fulfilled. With verse, Jesus departed and did hide himself from them. That's the worst judgment you can have in this world. Friends, may I then again once more appeal to your fallen, sinful, lost heart. Don't let Jesus pass by. Amen.